This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two road meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running.
Good evening, Bahamas. And welcome to Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scrooge or Scrooge or Scroogey, host of the talk show Inside the Industry that premieres on Guiding Radio every 6:30 to 8 p.m. every Friday, except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232. 325-46 16 and 325-4959, and you can text us powered by BTC at 422-TR96, and you can listen to us live Facebook on the radio dial 969 FM, Guardian Radio FM. And it's a pleasure to be a host on this wonderful Friday, and to everyone who listens to Guardian Radio and listen to Inside the Inner City, I want to say a wonderful, wonderful good evening to each and every one of you, and I hope you enjoy this wonderful Friday. Today's topic is going to cover a few topics concerning about Haitian nationals. We want to get a good understanding. We just had about 17 who were pronounced dead after there was a capsizing of their boat of illegal smuggling, leaving here from Nassau, New Providence, on its way to Miami. But unfortunately for those who are looking for a better way of life, they lost their lives. We also want to talk about the harboring laws in the country and what we can do to enforce it. Reason why? We are feeling that Bahamian people who are Bahamian citizenships is using this as an advantage to, to do illegal smuggling. And it's cost many lives over the course of the years in the Bahamas. Because as you can remember, we could go back to 50, 60 years where we had a lot of persons wanting to have a better life leaving Haiti, and on their journey, they're coming to the Bahamas or to the U.S. have lost their lives at sea, and it's been a never-ending story, and we have never gotten to the bottom of it, and today we like to have a better understanding. I was supposed to have Mr. Francis come in studios this evening. I don't know if he will be able to make it at this particular time, but he had a particular show on his broadcast, and he called it the Haitian Dilemma. And he was talking about the visa issue where the U.S. is actually denying Haitian nationals visa in the U.S. For some particular reason. And they're clamping down on it, and they're slowing down on giving visa permits to those Haitian nationals are living in the U.S., and Mr. Francis was having a good conversation on it. So I invited him to come on the show this Friday. He's supposed to appear, but in the meantime, we're just going to get on with the topic. And before I do that, I want to say, okay, oh, he's in studio. You can come inside. Yes, and we want to discuss a number of issues, and Mr. Francis has been doing a wonderful, wonderful job on that. And like I said, I want to give a special thanks out to a former superintendent of police, the great superintendent Douglas Hanna, celebrating his 70th birthday yesterday, and he had a reception for former police officers who were also present, and current police officers were present to show their gratitude for an officer who spent 25 years in the criminal investigation department. But over the course of his journey, Douglas Hanna was one of the most outstanding police officers who was able to go there and perform his duty and brought a lot of justice for a lot of persons who have lost a lot of loved ones in the country. And he's one of the best officers that the Royal Bahamas Police Force has ever produced. And this is one of the officers who used to come look for me when I was involved in illegal activity, but he was very understanding. And I want to say congratulations and a happy birthday to former superintendent of police, Douglas Hanna. I also want to give a shout out to Laquan Nan. He's a neighbor of mine when he was younger. His granddaddy and grandma, they own the property next to my residence. And I would like to give a shout out to Stafford Nan. He owns a washhouse on Wolf Road. Mr. Francis is laughing now, and I know Stafford is real proud, because not only that, he has an next son, Tum Tum Nan, and over the course of the years, you would hear about Tum Tum Nan, but he also has a brother, Jaquan Nan, who is doing an outstanding job for the Bahamas. These are ambassadors for the country, so I want to give a shout-out to Stafford Nan, Ms. Paula Nan, to Tum Tum Nan's father, and Jaquan's father. We call him Smiley Nan. So anyone knows Smiley, and if you know the background, Smiley did everything he could to provide the basic needs for his sons. They come out of the inner city community in Grandstand, then cross from West Creek, and he was able to send his son to school, both of his sons to school, to get the best education he can, and now we're seeing the fruits that he sowed. So I want to give a shout-out to Smiley Nan, and also to his daddy, Stafford Nan, and to the whole Nan family for a wonderful, wonderful job you guys did in tutoring Tum Tum Nan and Jaquan Nan. And he just won gold medal at the Commonwealth Games in the long jump. So I want to congratulate. Some good stuff. Okay, I got my special guest in studios. This man, he is an activist. He talks a lot about the issues that are facing our country. I saw him on Facebook a few days ago, but I also follow him up on a regular basis. I might not comment, but I follow him up. And I'd like for him to introduce himself. But we're going to talk about his conversation what he had with the Haitian dilemma. And we want to talk about this and how it's affected us. Go ahead, sir.
Well, listen, man, I'm delighted Adrian V. Francis on the radio. I don't do radio no more. And I don't do radio like I used to do radio. And
yes, sir.
Say, congratulations to you.
Yes, sir.
Young man, inside the inner city.
Yes, sir.
I've listened to you for many, many years now. Congratulations on your sustainability.
Yes, sir.
Be able to do this on a consistent basis. Talk radio isn't easy. People think because you get behind this microphone, it's very easy. That's not true. And I want to say thank you so much for your work in the inner city.
Yes, sir.
Your transition.
Yes, sir.
Transformation is not easy, especially when you want to actually... the hardest thing to do is to be a slave and to deliver somebody else.
Wow.
That's the most difficult thing to do. But the greatest person on earth is someone who's been delivered from slavery who understands freedom.
Ah, yes.
When you understand freedom, you can go and get somebody else. Harriet Tubman said, I could have delivered so much more people if they only knew they were slaves. And so there's a price to freedom. And what you're doing, coming out of the old lifestyle and coming out of where you've been over the years and all that kind of stuff and doing what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
Is messaging to set others free.
Yes, sir.
And the work that you've done in this show inside the inner city
yes,
is a powerful work.
Wow.
And the challenge with persons who are slaves.
Yes.
If they only could see the door, they could get out of the same bad habits too.
Yes.
I tell people constantly, you show me your habits, I'll show you your habitation.
Wow.
Show me your habits and I'll show you where you live. And so I want to congratulate you. You talked about some of my people. A minute ago, you talked about Tum Tum Nan.
Yes.
That's the point guard.
Yeah.
Tum Tum and Stafford. Stafford Bar is almost opposite my grandmother's house.
Oh,
on Wolf Road.
On Wolf Road.
So Lucky Food Store is here.
Yes, sir.
My grandmother's house is here.
Wow.
And so I know Laquan is one of my mentees. When Laquan was doing basketball and jumping.
That's right, yes.
When Laquan was doing basketball and jumping, Laquan was a part of what I call the Special 40.
Special.
The Special 40 was made up of Shawnee Miller.
Yes.
Anthony Strawn, Raquel Williams, Dirty Newbold, O.J. Ferguson, Laquan Nan, Laquan Fisk Rifter is part of what I introduced him to.
Stop that.
And so if you call Quan and Stafford and Stafford meeting with Tum Tum Nan when he was in college.
Yes, sir.
He would have been a good, great point guard, but people always thought he was too small.
Yeah.
And so what they used to do down low, they used to post him up.
Yeah.
And so he had plenty of speed, he could handle, but when it came to the defense part of what they did, he couldn't handle the D.
He's lacking it.
He was lacking the D. And so Tum Tum is my boy, and so I just do this. I don't talk this.
Well, yeah, yes, yes. You tell the truth.
I tell the story. Laquan was a flyer in the air, basketball flyer, and we've been trying to convert many of the basketballers.
Yes, sir.
To high jump and also long jump.
Wow.
And Laquan is one of the persons who actually transitioned. One of the greater challenges we have in our athletics. Most of the kids who play basketball, who play baseball, who do track and field, we have not been able to get them to transition from the junior ranks to the senior ranks and to professionalism.
Wow.
Shawnee Miller, Anthony Strawn, many of them, they would have made the cut. Ariana Vanderpool Wallace, she made the cut.
Yes.
There are persons who can make the cut from the junior ranks to the senior rank to professionalism. Very few do that.
Wow.
And so I have to take my hat off to the Prime Minister of the Bahamas because the other day he gave ambassadorship.
Yes, yes, it's some outstanding vehemence.
The fireman
Chris,
Brown.
Chris Fireman Brown. Congratulations, bro. I'm so,
so
happy for
when
that.
You do something like that, you got me. You got me.
Yeah, you got me. Yes, he acknowledging those small man who went on the next cell.
Yes, sir. Yes. Inside the inner city, man.
Yes, yes.
You're going inside. You ain't going deep wrestling, deep east.
Yes.
You're inside the inner city, man. I can hang with you.
Yes.
Because I grew up on Wolf Road, man.
Yeah, you were all at the inner city.
I brag with Wolf Road. I talk a lot about Wolf Road because I know where you come from, man.
Yes, yes.
And I used to stop on Wolf Road earlier to deliver some peanuts to some of my friends, someone on the blocks by Barbies. And so
still giving back.
I still giving back, man. I show up even when I'm not supposed to show up because I love the young men and women who came through.
You love your country.
Listen, man, I eat, drink, and sleep the Bahamas, man.
Yes, yes, you should.
I eat, drink, and sleep this country. I believe the greatest message on earth. It's the greatest small country in the world called the Bahamas. That's the great. I've gone all over the world by the age of 24. I think I touched on every continent.
You travel.
And ain't no place like the Bahamas.
No places like the Bahamas.
I just cried to come home.
Wow, you, after 1 week or 2 years you want to come home?
My last name is Francis. You know, my first two names is First Flight Out. First Flight Out Francis.
So after a week or 2 years,
I gotta go home. Let me say good evening to my good friend Ali. Ali's my good friend.
Okay.
And Ali's my good friend. But I wanna thank you first for inviting me, man. Yes. Romy Ferrer. Good evening to you, Charles, Margaret, Elizabeth, the rest of you guys.
Yes,
let me just say let me say good evening to social media.
Social media
people. Romy, I can tell you in Surrey what one of the former leaders told me in the last iteration. They said to me, if you was hard on Brave, if you was hard on Minutes, you might as well be hard on Brave Davis. I said, you know, I like Brave Davis. I like what Brave Davis doing.
Yeah, he's doing some
he ain't nothing
stuff.
To be hard on him
no,
yet.
Not right now.
No, so. But listen, Romy Ferrer, blessing to you and to Erica, your beautiful wife, and to your family. Blessing to you, my friend. Rochelle Farrington and the rest of you guys, blessing to you guys. Just doing a quick radio with my boy Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
Inside the inner city.
Yes.
So let's get to it, man. I'm here to serve you, man.
Yeah, and you did a wonderful job of talking with Jaquan and Tum Tum, and you talked about Shanae Miller, and you talked about how you were there from the front, helping promote those great ambassadors to our country, and look how they went and performed. You know, they went and performed.
Yeah, man.
Wow, it's crazy. I watched that jump from Jaquan, and look at you try fly on the penny.
No, no, Jaquan is no joke.
Man, you see the jump?
Jaquan is no joke. Jaquan is no joke. When you, if you ever get the chance to go from junior to the senior ranks and you're able to get all the nutritional help and all the help to make that, trust me, the Bahamas is the greatest sports nation in the world per capita.
Wow.
What we got in this country. And I want to, again, take my hat off to the Prime Minister because he threw money at sports.
Yes, I see.
Nobody ever argued politics when Shawnee Miller's running. Mm. Nobody wants to know whether she's FNM or PLP. All they want is gold.
Yes, because it represents the Bahamas.
It represents the Bahamas. No one, when Christopher Iman Brown running that quarter all those years, or Pauline Davis or any of the other athletes, when the corner is jumping to Ariana swimming, when Joanna Evans, it's no one argue whether or not they're FNM or PLPs, but they know that they're Bahamians. And that's what really I get off on that, man. I get off on the fact that Rick Fox could become an ambassador to this country.
Yes,
man.
Yes.
You know, good friend of mine. And I love me some Rick Fox and
Sebastian.
I got a little brag with Sebastian, I was tight growing up. Sebastian is a young man to me, but Sebastian used to do mainframe computers. That's how he started.
Yes, that's how he started off. I had him finally meet him, his family and all.
Oh yeah, his daddy was my godfather.
Yeah, from Two Tailors Creek. Yeah, family Two Tailors Creek.
Yeah, Smiley was my godfather. Wow. His daddy was my godfather. Wow. And I remember me, Sebastian, and Keith Carey did a lot of work together.
Keith Carey, the real estate guy.
Keith Carey is the former athlete who started the 99-cent breakfast stand.
Okay.
He was killed making a deposit.
Yes, I remember him. I remember that
Keith
big story.
Keith Carey is one of my best friends, and he died. Keith Michelle. Keechel was short for Keith and Michelle, his wife.
Okay.
And so, me, Keith Carey, and Sebastian, back in the day, me and Frame on East Street, where Sebastian started on East Street, where what's the name of that food store? By Garden Hill, it's right there.
Okay.
That's where Sebastian started with his electronics and all them things.
And from there, he excelled himself to make himself a multimillionaire now to ambassador.
That's what you're talking about. Ambassador of Central America.
Wow.
Coming out of the inner city and doing some good things. Wow. You know, so. Blessings to him and to his family.
And we're on the same course. We might not get ambassadorship, but we use the opportunity to fight for what we like and try to improve ourselves. Wow. Crazy.
No doubt.
Yeah. So, Mr. Francis, you know, we have been having this problem for a long, long time. And you were an advocate who speak on these matters.
Graham says hi, buddy.
What's up, Graham?
Graham says hi, man.
All right.
Go ahead, man.
Graham is such a good guy. Graham has been assisting me many years and his wife.
Every time Graham on the radio with me, we play the song Ebony and Ivory. that's my only white friend.
Yeah. So, Mr. Francis, we're going to talk about the harboring aspect of our laws, because it seems to me that Bahamians who have citizenship tends to be the ones who... this as advantage to help smuggle people, Haitian nationals in the country, even though they're here, the set who are actually paying the money to bring them into the country are actually those who, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But before we get there, let's talk about what do you think is the problem now we face in the country, why we have so much illegal immigrants leaving from Haiti, which we know is due to poverty. We know that they take a risk leaving from Haiti, come to the Bahamas and go to America, or from here straight to America. And this has been going on for many, many years in our country. And you were speaking on this matter, and you were not specifically talking about the set who are here legally. You were talking about the set who come here illegally, and we have to protect the Bahamas from over influx of illegal in the country. Yes. And,
go ahead.
And if we listen to the international news, was talking to the Bahamas government and asking them if we could actually open the Bahamas doors to more illegal immigrants here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And at the same time, I want people to know how tough things are for me as a baby born in 1973, how tough it is for a raw-born Bahamian. And we're not discriminating. We're talking to Fox about how things are tough with us as raw born Bahamians in the country. Like you said, we are not here to discriminate. We're just having a conversation. And like I said, from 1973 to 1974, real Bahamians here in the Carmel of the Bahamas. And we ourselves as Bahamians are having problems, just trying to survive in this country. And now we have an influx of illegal immigrants who leave from their hometown to come to the Bahamas to have a better way of life. But it's putting a screen on us, and also it's causing a lot of people to lose their lives, are traveling to treacherous waters to find a better way of life. Now, we're not knocking nobody for trying to find a better way of life, but what we're saying, you know, there has to be some type of regulation and enforcement to slow down the influx of persons coming here illegally. If you're coming here legal, it's no problem whatsoever. But if you're coming here illegally, I think it's a big strain on us now. And we, as the Bahamas, cannot listen to the international community. Even though our heart is open, we can't listen to the international community because we ourselves, as Bahamians, we've been taking a great burden of having a lot of persons who came 50, 60, 100 years ago, and they become Bahamian citizens. We have no problem with those. But those who are coming here illegally across the seas, and then it's hurting us internationally. Would you like to speak on the subject to start off?
Yeah, listen, you, boy, you said a mouthful. And part of the challenge is your mouthful. You know, my creed for Sovereign Bahamas, the organization that the Lord allowed me to start.
Yes.
The messaging has to be, you can't come through the back door.
No.
And get front door benefits.
No, it can't.
You cannot come through the back door and get front door benefits. The challenge we have is that it's not a matter of illegal immigration.
Mm.
It's not a matter of where you even come legally or illegally.
Mm.
The message for our government and every government of the world is the message of sovereignty.
Respect the sovereignty of the country.
If you don't understand sovereign right, you're going to compromise every treaty, every alliance, every contract you sign, the international borders, including the United Nations.
Yes.
I'm not concerned about the United Nations position on whether I have open borders. I'm not concerned about that.
Mm.
The only thing I'm concerned about is my constitution and sovereign, my sovereign right.
That's the
book. So when I go through the preamble, the mission statement for the Bahamas,
yes, sir,
that the Bahamian people should not suffer deprivation.
Deprivation.
When what? I go through the the preamble, I'm more concerned that my forefathers laid down the foundation for my success. And so there's a Bible scripture that freaks me out.
Mm.
It says, honor your father and your mother.
So your days be long.
I thought that's what it said, that you will live long.
Yes.
If you honor your father. That's not what it says.
No, that is moderate.
It says, honor your father and your mother, that their days may be long upon the land.
On the land. Okay.
So when the forefathers lay down the foundation, I got to honor that. If I don't honor that, the Haitians can take my land. The Chinese can take my land. Everybody will take my land.
The Europeans.
Everybody will come and take. If I don't honor the words of my forefathers in that constitution, mm, I will lose the land. We're losing the land because the human people are frustrated.
Yes, we're frustrated.
And we're allowing everything and everybody to benefit.
Yes.
From the Bahamas except us.
Yes, you're correct.
And so there are four pillars that I live by.
Four pillars.
Four pillars. We live in a country built on FDI. FDI is foreign direct investment. Fine, I have no problem with foreign direct investment. But I live by OII. Own your identity. Own your island. Own your industry. Own your investments. A sovereignty.
A sovereignty.
And so when everybody else come here, build their statue to themselves,
mm,
gain land for themselves, I got an issue.
Mm.
And so, mere mortally, the Prime Minister of Barbados, she beat the opposition so bad,
mm-hmm,
that they needed to appoint somebody to be opposition. She swept them. She is the queen of the Caribbean. She's the queen of CARICOM.
Wow.
Her messaging to CARICOM is an inverted message.
Mm.
I love Barbadian more than I love anybody else.
Right.
So when the when the Canadian banks come in,
yeah,
I ain't care about no Canadian banks. When this one come in to do this, you got to acquiesce to us.
Yes.
You got to do what we say. In the Bahamas, you do it a little bit differently. We allow the foreign banks to come in, the Canadian banks come in,
mm,
and oppress us with fees. We allow everybody to come in and do some things to us. That's oppressive. Mia Mortley is the queen of the Caribbean, simply because she decided Barbadians got to be first.
Voice, yes.
Barbadians voice.
Yeah, she's committed.
And she will tell you, she will throw your order barbarians on your head. She don't care. Why? Because she has a sovereign message. Now, I could be a nationalist, but I cannot be insular to the place where I don't understand or do not appreciate the need for the rest of the world.
Wow.
I need the rest of the world.
Yes.
But at the same time, if you check the water sprinkler, when the water sprinkler go off, the grass is green further than the grass inside. The grass is never green on the other side. The grass is only green where you put the water. And so we have to ask the governor of the Bahamas, we have to ask those who are leading us, put water on the inside. Let the grass be green.
That's us then.
That's us.
Yeah, maybe we brown now. The sun is scorching us.
Scorching us.
Yes.
And so we need to put the water on the inside.
Yes.
I take my hat off to them. And I'm off to, very careful sometimes when I say this, because I take my hat off to Brave Davis, because I believe that he represents the voice that we need. Mm. We came out of a rough patch.
Yeah, that's the last administration.
We came out of a rough patch.
Yes.
And I think Brave Davis represents a voice that the country may need. But we have to also be careful that that voice is sustainable with things that point to the benefits of the Bahamian people.
I agree.
The first thing God gave man was Eden. The word Eden means spot or paradise. The first thing God gave man was land. The first thing he gave man was land. That's the first thing God gave man. The first thing a sovereign government protects is land.
Wow.
And the first thing a sovereign government does is provide land and space
for
citizens. And so I believe that the Haitians have come to the Bahamas somewhat of desperation. The Haitians have come to the Bahamas, and for some reason it's become almost like an arrogant spirit that has come with them. Nothing travels more than culture. Their cultures travel. We'll talk a little bit more about it because I know the line's later, but we'll talk a little bit more about it as we go. Nothing travels like culture.
Okay, we're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yes, sir. Good evening to all.
Good evening.
All right. You know, both of my parents are from the Takes and Cakers, right?
Yes.
So I am what you would call a belonger of the Takes and Cakers. You know, the Google search might tell you something that I don't agree with either. You know, but see, we gotta look at. See, anybody could be a Bahamian, or could become a Bahamian according to our Constitution.
Okay.
Anybody could become a Bahamian, but should anybody be able to be inheritors of the Bahamas?
No.
All right. See, that's the issue. See, it shouldn't be an issue where everybody that immigrates to the Bahamas who become Bahamians, whether they are Stephen Dillard, you know, I don't think they should become or inherit the Bahamas, especially though we like to talk about Bahamians first. You know, a belonger is an African who come here, whose parents or foreparents came here as slaves. That's who the belongers are. And they are the people who belong in this Bahamas, and they are the inheritors of, they should be the inheritors of the Bahamas. There's a thing, they talk about organic. It's not about being organic, it's about coming here at your own, against your free will. Even the ones who came from the Eleuther Adventures. I'm not even talking about the immigrant Indians who came here. From who they said themselves, from Red Bay. I'm talking about the ones who came in shackles, whose parents come in shackles. You know, rightfully, they should be inheritors of this land. You see, because they lost all of their inheritance of in Africa, you know. You understand me? And, you know, Mr. Francis, this is Gardner, you know. Me, I and him grew up in the same neighborhood. And if you go to the neighborhood today, in that same immediate area, we have alleys where houses are deplorable. I'm have a thing that same thing in your neighborhood, Scrooge.
Man, it's all over now, so.
Folks still living in rust. So, and then I look at the Guardian this morning. It says MP or PM, what's his name? Live up there. But he has lived up to his promises. Come on, where is the promise for housing for these same inner city people who cannot afford a mortgage? Where is it?
But anyway,
thank you very much.
Yeah, one more thing.
Yeah.
You see, man, babies, this bomb is still have issues today in terms of economic issues, the cost of living, the epidemic and the war. Nothing has changed. You understand me? The FNM had the pandemic and the hurricane to deal with, right? Mm. The PLP now have the pandemic, the hurricane, and the war, and you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we don't need to, you know, my good friend, I want to be like Martin Luther King, who's not afraid. You know, Martin Luther King
we got to move on. We have to move on.
Man, thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for the comment. Did a wonderful job just now. Yeah, so Mr. Francis, you were saying, we have a next caller. Let's get his next call so we can continue the conversation. Go ahead, caller.
Look, all the days is just talking voice along with you and Brother Francis.
Okay.
Well, what's happening, boy? I'm so glad I don't do talk radio no more, but it's good to hear your voice. What's happening, man?
What you doing? I want to hear you around for a little bit.
And I good, man. I working, you know.
Wonderful.
The Bible says, man, of work you shouldn't eat.
You wait to what?
I'm working, man. I'm doing some work.
But it says, which is good. Let me show you something. You talked about the Prime Minister.
Uh-huh.
Let me show you something.
We talk about illegal immigration. We talk about illegal immigration.
We're trying to go off course. Yeah, we're going to go off course. Go ahead.
No, we're not going off course. People come into this country, right? They're in this country legal, right? And what they're doing, right? They're obtaining people's property, and it's wrong. Okay? The government need to deal with situation whereby people, this property, what people are taking possession of, look at the history of it and put it in a proper perspective. Because nobody has the right to just go and squat in piece of property and then after a while they own it. That's stealing. That's indecent. And any lawyer would agree with that. They are filthy.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thanks very much for the comment. So, Mr. Francis, yeah, we were having a conversation. I know we got a lot of hard people in this country, you know.
Them are people, man. I tell you, them are people. I always try to. That's why I tell you, I stay up radio.
You shaking your head left,
man. Ali. Anyway, let's go screw it. Let's do this.
Okay. Oh, Lord. Yeah, so we're having this conversation. And what do we want the general public to know that we all are human in this world. But we just like to talk about issues that are facing us. And one thing we like to do, we don't like to discriminate. We're just trying to say we have to protect the Bahamas. If we don't protect the Bahamas, situation that's happened in certain countries around the world would happen to us. We have no law and order in the country, all right? So we need law and order to be enforced in the country, not safe, sovereign Bahamas, all right? And this is the reason I had having this conversation today. Because when I look at it, right, Mr. Francis, I look at it and I listen to the situation. We just had about 17 illegal immigrants who were here in the country. You know, I don't know how they got there in the country, and I was just listening to the news and reading the newspaper. And this is something like what you were talking about. And then when I listened, I heard that they catch a boat here in Nassau, New Providence. If I'm correct, this is the same information that we're receiving, catch a boat here in Nassau, who is a Bahamian smuggler. He decided to take an overloaded boat, which is completely dangerous, knowing that the boat only could carry a certain amount of people, right? They capsized about, they said, about 7 miles offshore. He lost the life of 17. Some other people could be missing. Pregnant ladies have lost their life.
Boy, screw this economics, man. You know, let me tell you. You know, to cut through the cheese, right? This is about economics. That's all this is. This is economics. And people believe that a boat will be pushing out of Haiti. Mm-hmm. And people just run off the shore and jump on the boat.
No. It's a transition.
This is a planned program from Nassau to Haiti.
That's what I'm talking about now.
And so 95 Haitians were caught off Long Island last evening.
Illegal.
Right? Illegals. Here's the thing. If you were a pregnant lady, if my numbers are still right in my head, that's $6,000,
mm-hmm.
right? The average cost to come out of Haiti on a boat is $4,000. And so if you have a boat, for example, with 100 persons in it, and they're paying $4,000, that's 400 grand.
Yes.
You're paying a bunch of money, the places are prepared. The oceans of the Bahamas has become the graveyard for Haitian bodies.
So this is what you're fighting against?
This is not about illegal immigrants.
No.
This is about human smuggling.
Smuggling, that's what we're talking about.
This is about human smuggling.
Smuggling, that's what we're talking about.
America adjusted their laws with human smuggling.
With human smuggling.
And they put it under the Terrorism Act.
Right.
And the reason why they've been so drastic, you will get 100 years for smuggling.
Yes, you should.
In America, you'll get 100 years. And so when you see somebody decide that they're going to smuggle somebody from Haiti into the Bahamas, you're talking about 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 each. If a woman is traveling with a child,
yes, sir.
That's 10,000. That's 10 grand.
And this is what is going on.
This is what's going on.
It's a driving force.
And so you're talking about these long lines at Cash and Go, Omni, and all these different
entities.
The remittances that leave the
yes,
country.
Sir.
The remittances go to help people come in.
Mm.
And so this is not people who are, if Haiti is dirt poor and it takes you 5,000, 6,000 to get out, where are you getting the money from?
They're getting the money from residents who are living here in the
so
Bahamas.
People
who have citizenship
support
there.
Them. People, the big, there's a ministry in Haiti called the Ministry of Remittance.
Ministry of Remittance.
That means you send money back. There's a whole ministry. That's how Haiti survives.
Yes.
Haiti survived remittance.
Wow.
And so all over the world where there's a diaspora, they send monies back and the government gets a portion of that money.
Okay. So I see
what... It's a ministry. It's a government ministry. And so what you have in essence, your people who are sending monies back to their loved ones.
Behemoths here.
They can be Haitian here. They can be Haitian behemoths here.
Yes.
But they're sending monies back. To get their loss.
Risking the loss of the Commonwealth
yeah.
of the Bahamas.
And so when during Dorian, and when things got really rough for us in the country, I did a live show from one of those cash and go type
yes, sir.
Situation.
I think I saw it.
And the then Minister of Finance, Peter Turn, because I picked up when I called Peter, and I said, listen, man, see if we could shut down, call central bank for them to shut down the money going out.
Yes.
I said, because we're going to need all the money we could get. The lines were long.
Yeah.
With people sending money out of the country.
Listen, the line were, I was going to send some money to my son and then to America. And the line was from the place run by Super Walu on
my
Wolf Road.
My God.
You already said, Mr. Francis? And that was
my God.
Money going out to the country during the pandemic.
I got so tired. Let me tell you how tired I got. I marched against Calvin Road.
Mm-hmm.
I marched against... When you knew that you had an opportunity.
Against smuggling.
I marched against the smuggling, the illegal laws, the illegal setting up of businesses on the side of the road. And when I started to do this, I got a call from the United Nations. I got a call from CNN. They called me everything but a child of God.
Wow.
And all because I decided that, you know what, we're going to lose our country if we don't stop this stuff now.
And the reason you're saying that is because you just said it before, that Bahamian people, whether illegal or Bahamian people, they're using the funds that they earn here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to send back, to bring back family, friends,
to bring family back.
And it's a business.
Louise Reckley says here, one of the things that's amazing to me, and we have to always be conscious of this, Haiti didn't go through Hurricane Dorian. The Bahamas did. But when they put them in the, the people from the south, from Haiti, in the Candlelight Gym, and in Poinciana and Hotel, that was our opportunity to begin to do some kind of an audit of who is here legally.
Yes.
If you were here on a work permit during Dorian or during COVID, the reality is
yes,
you're on a work permit.
Permit yes.
But if there are no jobs,
then you should be.
Yeah, so I mean, is submission permission or permit, then commission.
Yes.
So if there's no commission, time for you to go home.
Yeah.
And so, it gave us an opportunity to put everything back in perspective. In Abaco, we were supposed to be able to deal with the mud and the pee in Abaco during that time.
Yes,
nobody
sir.
Dealt with it. And so someone did an op-ed on me and said that something was wrong with me. And all I was trying to tell them straight up if we don't deal with this now.
Yeah, it's a problem.
So I'm tired. So yeah, when people say, oh, you know, well, you're so old now, you don't talk about the issue no more. They have no idea what it means for 7 or 8 years straight. I went to the Haitian embassy where they were selling fraudulent marriages. And I went after the Shah's affairs in the Haitian embassy. And I told him, give him a letter. I can give you 2 or 3 days to get out of this country. In 4 days, he was gone. You know why? Because I had proof that he was actually selling fraudulent marriages.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, but...
They have a problem with national insurance. We had people working at national insurance, giving out false national insurance cards to residents. And some of these people are before the court. We had people getting passport, driver's license. Now, these are the things we're talking about. This is a screen on us. Now, we got to look for these people, put them before the court. And it's on the back of the taxpayer. So there's problems here, what we're talking about in the country. We understand we're brothers and sisters from Haiti, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, but each and every country has their sovereignty. Each and every country has to protect their country, even against themselves.
That's right.
Right? So here to talk about the problem and see how we can fix it. And Mr. Francis, and we can see that money is involved. We're talking about
economics.
We're talking about people taking their money here where they're earning in the Bahamas, then they're going to send it to Haiti, to Omni or MoneyGram.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to tell them, say, no, we could get them here to the Bahamas. So they're doing it legally. They're getting their money here legally, and then they're using their way of empowerment to bring people here illegally. And at the same time, these people are coming, putting the screen here on us here in the country. Now, we're not discriminating. It's a fact. We have to protect the Bahamas. And the reason I'm saying this is because with the 7 people who just died and many more missing, okay, that could have been avoided, all right? Because there's no way a boat can leave from old, where it was. They said old fish fry or from here, and then with all these people on board go undetected out, and now we're listening to boat capsize and 17 people lost their life on their way to trying to get to America. So we have a smuggling problem here also.
This is good, man. I worked at ZNS for many years.
And you can talk about the story.
And I remember in the pitch black of night, I haven't been to ZNS for years.
Yes, sir.
And not in that capacity. But I'm talking about the water by Defense Force and thrown on a boat.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about what someone tell me. This is something I've lived out. And so you got to understand, man, that...
I'm trying to protect them also.
You know, the weird part is, right? We can talk about this till Jesus come back.
Yes, yes.
The government of the Bahamas, if they love the Bahamas so much, whoever have the executing power must love the Bahamas so much that the decisions that they make is designed to protect the sovereignty of our nation.
Yes.
You must love me, the extent to which you're prepared to protect me.
Yes.
And so the number one job of a government is the security of its people. That's the number one job of a government, the security of its people. The four most pertinent needs, and there are other side of this coin, but shelter, food, they basic needs.
Yes.
Now, how do you child whose parents came illegally? How do you tell a child whose parents came illegally? You got to go back to Haiti. How do you tell all these young men who are on the mopeds?
Riding around on the mopeds,
who have no status in this country.
No documents whatsoever.
That's
a big problem in our country.
Robbing you on the mopeds.
Yes.
Police intelligence tell me they robbing you on the mopeds. They call me, listen.
Go ahead, sir.
But what they tell you, all these kids who are here, the question is, right, how do you deal with the fact that it takes ever long to get a document? How do you deal with this problem with children who are born in these shanty towns?
Who are here now,
Who have no status here in the country. How do you deal? They're Haitians. How do you deal? Because once you're born to Haitian parents, you're Haitian.
Yes, they said that anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. The problem is we are allowing some things to fester. And it's now us versus them. Until you fix that, you're in the middle of civil war coming.
Yeah.
And no one wants to deal with the actualities because 7 out of 10, several years ago, of the children born in the hospital were Haitians. Wow. There wasn't one public school that had less than 60% Haitian children.
Wow.
Not one. Some went up as high as 75 to 80.
Wow.
And so when the conversation came up the other day about whether or not there are 150,000 nations in America, I started smiling. Let's go to the phone lines, man.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, I saw the charge of affair from Haiti,
yeah.
And he is in Haiti, and he could give an estimate that's 150,000.
The more of them they get around the world, the more remittance they get go back to Haiti.
Wow, it's crazy.
So they want them over to Haiti. They want, and we have to be so careful because the government of Haiti could open the floodgates and put 50 boats out one time. Mm-hmm. 50 boats out. We can't stop one, but you think we do it 50?
Wow. And like I said, this is not about discrimination. This it's a problem. It's a serious problem. People are losing their lives. We have to find a way to stop them from taking that risk. I think the UN needs to invest France and these places that put these sanctions on Haiti for many, many years. France. I think they need to...
Well, everybody needs money. France, you check it. Everybody needs a couple of dollars right now.
All right. I think they're going to have to invest.
Yeah.
To the phone lines, go ahead, call out. You're on Inside the Inner City if you want to comment.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Scoogey and Timothy Adrian Miller.
Agent who?
Agent Francis.
Okay. Agent
I always get him and Leo on mix up, you know. But I know this guy. I like what you're doing, brother. And hey, Scoogey.
Yeah.
I will augment the conversation, make a quick input, and then I'd like to hear what Mr.
Yeah, go ahead.
The thing is, you guys are right on point. And so, to be streety, right, Scoogey? You already know the paradigm they're trying to create. So, we don't know about the money gram and all that. But here's where it's at now, post-pandemic, right? With the biosecurity breach or people coming in unabatedly without being checked, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, number two, right, Adrian?
Mm-hmm.
The United States, like you said, you said they called you because I was listening to Scoozy say to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The United States is in no position to talk about the Caribbean as far as illegal migration ethics, right? Because I had a Haitian Bohemian, American girlfriend, Haitian American girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She left here about 2 or 3 years old, left from Freeport. And we see all of the American Asian Americans with the American slang back on the road, right? They've been living in America for 20, 30 years, and they still send them back, right or wrong?
Oh, they send you back.
Yeah, they don't know that, eh?
Yeah, I read up on
it. Yeah, they still sending you back, so what position they in to tell us about how to deal with the immigrants? Now, you know, we know we integrated, right? Because, you know, you're not Asian, we're immigrant girlfriend, but the thing is, it's about numerology. These people are, what's the population of Haiti now, about 11.8 million?
11 plus million.
It's almost 12 million, right, Mr. Francis?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is they're playing a numbers game here, and you see... See, you right on target, so hang on, just hang up and listen, because we know it's all about corruption and economics, right?
Yeah.
Don't worry about the amount of people, I mean, nigga thinking about a parking load of money. You see, just do the math. But, excuse you, brought up something very integral that you might not even know. The wiring the money should become a part of the legality now,
yes.
As far as facilitating transshipment of human smuggling.
Yes, it is.
You understand me? Don't we know these jokers, they're serious.
Yes,
and throughout the years, I'm 58 on the 8th of August, excuse you, so play the number. 8, 58.
Okay.
Now listen to me, soldier. We know the answer is because you have had you know this paradigm is going on. Well, let's go back to the pig farm in Sunshine Park. We see letters and everything on the pig farm and clothes changing and all them things from then. So if I could discover these things, I got a call a couple of weeks ago and said you should put defense force on the coastline because you might be able to see, but you got to come to land. So we know the answer is about this. This is a matter of national security. They may take it however they want, but Scoozy. And Mr. Francis, I was appalled, too, at the name changing. These are the only demographics out of the migratory demographics that want to change their name, Adley's, whatever surname, Russell's, et cetera. I saw the problem with that. They want to change into Bohemian's name. They want our names. We can't. What's going on here? And the government facilitating this, I think that's something that should be stopped. All of a sudden, you know, I like Luby. Luby's a Bohemian. He sounds like us. But then, man, come on, man. What you want to be adjusted to be for? You know, I'm the other day, Scoozy.
Boy, let me tell you something. You know,
we don't need no more justice to the peace. They said, done selling out the command. Come on, what we need more justice to the peace for? All right, that's a big deal with justice to the peace permission to do, right? Under one condition that if you get catch in any fraudulent activity, we send you back to Haiti.
Yeah.
So love the people more than you love us. Let's make that deal.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, America send back Haitian Americans. They live in the 20, 30, almost 40 years. Some of them get sent back.
Yeah.
Once they do a crime and they go back. So we should have to set up some kind of paradigm. It is what it is. They could use the xenophobic psychological paradigm if they want to, but we know that's BS. That's a part of reverse psychology.
Yes,
we have to love our land and love our people. We love them also, but it's about numerology.
Yeah,
Mr. Francis, give thanks. Keep up the works.
Yeah, thank you, man. Take care, buddy.
Yeah, you made some very good comments.
Yeah, man.
Mr. Francis, also, you know, it's like we're sending money with people around here, hard-earned money. You know, the U.S. the bombers, they send the money back out to Haiti. and they're using that as a smuggling ring to get people here illegally. And when they get here, they're undetected. They hit our shores. They use our healthcare system. Like I say, I'm not a racist or a person who hates nobody.
It is what it is, man.
It is what it is. And this is a burden on us. So, Mr. Francis, I was listening to the comments made when they was looking for loved ones to come and identify the bodies that they found, you know, or the 70 people to come identify them. And then I heard one of the family members with a name like Marion Tobehemen, and they said something. They said that the person was here for 2 weeks, illegally here in the country. Listen to this now. This is the Bahamian who lost a family member on this dangerous voyage. Voyage. Now, when I listen, the person saying that the person who died on the boat was here for 2 weeks, okay? And they can't give account on what happened. But if you're a Bahamian and you have a family member here illegally, that means you like you said, you giving them funds. You
aiding and abetting.
And putting strain on the Bahamian people.
Yeah, that's aiding and abetting.
So what about our harboring law? What can we do to adjust our harboring laws for a Bahamian who has citizenship, who uses the rights of a Bahamian citizenship?
We revoke, man.
We should start revoking.
Listen, you know, we are, man. I know we have another call, and I don't like to hold people up on the phone.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
But the reality is, man, man, when the 17 person died on the boat the other day,
yes, sir.
The member for Carmichael, who is the minister responsible for immigration and labor, he came out and he said straight up that two persons who were on that boat as captains, they had work permits.
They had work permits. They're using.
So you can imagine how the statement is such a dangerous thing.
Yeah, yes, we're talking about.
You're telling me that.
This is treason.
Persons have work permits who smuggled in these illegal individuals. Activities. That's so scary.
That's what we're talking about.
That is very frightening.
That's what the show is about today.
And so when you get to the place where you make that statement, it scares me to the place where I have to ask myself, now who the hell is in the Bahamas?
Right.
Because if you come to the Bahamas, you're out of the Bahamas and you apply for a work permit, you send all your documents have to be from Haiti. That includes your police record, your medical certificate, and all your references should be out of to Haiti. Mm. If you send me a police record and that police record is fraudulent, then I got a serious issue.
Yes.
So all the persons who apply for police record are applying for status to be in the Bahamas. If you got 25 persons working in immigration and the 25 persons who are working upstairs have to go through all the documentations, children born here who turn 18,
yes.
You got hundreds of them going up there every day. Hundreds. You got people who try to ensure that their workers get their work permits renewed.
Yes.
Then you got FaceTime applications.
Yes.
Then you got citizenship.
Yes.
Then you got residency.
Yes.
You got all these. Who have time to go through to call Haiti to find out whether or not a police record which you give me
is
authentic?
It's legit. So they need to
be based on all that you give me, how do you begin to authenticate?
Okay, so I see what you're saying. We need to be organized here in the Bahamas and organized there in Haiti. Yes.
I can take this in some areas I know some answers to, and I can't even get into it because it's a little delicate.
Yeah.
And I try to. Some people tell me I sold out and all kinds of things. I'm taking a different approach to my life these days.
Yes.
When I ask everybody to come with me because these things were the way they were, man, let me tell you something.
I saw.
The people in our country, maybe we want more. They were more of the damn same.
Mm-hmm. I think.
Let's take you.
We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside in the Scene. Like I said, the show is not to discriminate. We're talking about smuggling. We're talking about the debts and how we could prevent that. We're talking about ways and how we can help those who are here. You know, Mr. Franz is talking with 18, 19 years and don't have their documents and stuff, how to go and file this and et cetera. This is a solution, but we have a problem. Go ahead, caller. I think they left.
Hello.
Hello, good night.
Good afternoon. How you doing, Scrooge?
I'm fine.
Hey, Adrian Sparky here.
Hey, what's up, young man? Blessing to you.
good, buddy. You know, one thing, Scrooge, Adrian, you be discounting also. The population of Haiti, right to the south of us, is over 11 million people. When I was growing up aging in the valley, I heard the figures used to be quoting around town was we had 250,000 people during my young time growing up.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm 71, Scrooge.
And they say the same thing.
I'm at 71 now. They say we have something like close to 400 and something thousand.
Yeah.
We have not even reached 1/2 of a million people yet in the country.
Wow.
Haiti to the south of us have 11 million people.
That's scary.
If one million people of desperate people out of Haiti, one out of 11 million come to the Bahamas, they outnumber us. they outnumber us 2-1. There will be no more Bahamas. There will be no more Bahamians. If only 1 million out of 11 million, think about those figures. You know, see, we've been talking, Adrian, we've been talking this foolishness from back in Loftus Roker time, when Loftus Roker told Mr. Pendleton that if you don't nip it in the bud now, this would happen. See, we talking about what Loftus Roker told Pendleton them, you know. One time ago, hello? Hello?
So you're yes, talking, sir.
I'm listening to you.
Listen there one time ago. The black Bahamian people, you know what they used to call Haitians? My Haitians. You got my Haitian wicked in your yard today. How can you go around owning a Haitian? Like there's a cow or a bird?
They're human beings.
They was calling people. Right now, people say, I can send my Haitian round by you. How did I get your Haitian? That's your Haitian. You said, and your Haitian is illegal. You know your Haitian who in your yard is illegal, but you sent it around to your friend wow. on Friday to meet his yard for him.
Crazy.
Like you passing humans around. But the black people do the same thing what the white people do.
That's right.
Their own black dog or Haitian brothers in slavery.
Sparky's right because what happened in Abaco?
Yeah.
What happened in Abaco was... They were in Shantytown. They were plantations. The Concordia Abaconians.
I heard about it.
God had to intervene with Dorian because the Concordia Abaconians, they owned the Haitians. And as soon as they got a chance where some of those Haitian young men and women went off to college and come back, I'm telling you, what Dorian did, they commandeered those homes. Some Abaconians, some Concordia Abaconians have never gone back. And I'm telling you, right, Sparky said something that's kind of interesting. I tell you, right, the Bahamas is a land fighting between two superpowers, China and America.
Yes.
You know what's frightening? The government of the Bahamas have to be so careful whose side it chooses.
Yeah.
So Mr. Christie made a decision. With,
if you'd like to make a call, please hang up.
Mr. Christie made a decision with the Point Hotel. I mean, when he made a decision with the Point Hotel, the Point was sold to the Chinese, right in the face of the American government.
Yeah, and then U.S.
Embassy.
The U.S. Embassy.
So the U.S. Embassy decided, tell you what, since you all built in, they built one monstrosity out there on Montague, yeah. The Chinese. The American come, they bought the whole of Shirley Street and part of East Street.
Yes,
and it's Moore Bendel Jones, yeah. Right? So check this out. If we are not careful how we make our decisions and our dealings, right? I'm gonna tell you what's scary. The Bahamas can't use, we don't have no Coast Guard to stop the Haitians from coming. Our relationship have to be so intact with America. Where the line is drawn in the sand.
Yeah.
We have to be so careful. Because if we mess around with Chinese, America will open the gate and tell the Coast Guard, y'all come in, let the Haitians come. And they will, listen, Sparky mentioned just now about the numbers, 11 million versus, or to call it prior to that, 11 million, 11.3 or 4 million versus
two.
A couple hundred thousand which here, right? If you see them put 400 boats on the water.
We're in trouble.
Them put 100 boats on the water. If they put 100 boats on the water, what you going to do?
What can you do? There's nothing you could do. You can't stop 100 boats.
You better learn damn Creole.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
If they put 100 boats on the water, chief, see, this is an economic, this is a situation economic.
You stated it.
This is crazy. And the challenge is our governments are in a situation where they have acquiesced to the international community because there are so many treaties and laws and these different things that we were signed on to. Yeah. And so the United Nations come with their pressure. And Prime Minister Davis said it the other day. They want us to lower our gate to bring more people in. And he said, you know, I told them.
Why do you want to do something? Go ahead. Why would you want to do something that, and you know the position the Bahamians in now. We don't take on the screen of helping people. We have helped so many different Caribbean countries. So why would you want to put the screen on us?
We have the space, you know.
We have the space. Seven in the island, seven in the case.
We have the space. We can take in more Haitians.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, we can take in more Chinese.
Right.
We can take in more Germans. We can take in more Trinidadians. We can take in more. God is so, let me tell you how good God is. In his sovereign wisdom, the Lord took the Bahamas with his own hands. He put Exuma, you be right over here. Inago, you be down here.
Strategic location.
Abaco, you be down here.
Yeah.
We are so strategically located. We are the gateway to the Western Hemisphere.
Yes, yes.
And so people don't just come to the Bahamas because it's a beautiful island. They come because we are so economically, strategically placed by God Almighty that this is God's home, man. This is the place where God lives. And Miles Monroe used to say it right, the place where God lives. We are so divinely placed by God that anybody who get here, they would understand, man, that this is really the... God lives here. We have to give him an opportunity to speak from here.
Yeah. Wow. It's crazy. I want to give a shout out to all those who are on Facebook. I see Tori. I see Lakeisha Fox. I say Cubes, bro. Yeah, Cubes. Respect Cubes. And I see DeMarco, DeVex online. I want to say very thank you. We're going to take this last call, and then we're going to continue our conversation. I want to give you the last few minutes, Mr. Francis. Go ahead, caller.
Good. I call back. I want to make Francis to know that the Prime Minister, the former Prime Minister, Perry Christie, and the current Prime Minister, when they were talking to the Haitians, they told the Haitians straight and plain that they are one. And if the American people heard that, you know it's going to be a problem because they're jiving. You and the Bahamian people are one. You get that? In order of voice. Thank you.
All right, brother.
And I want to send a...
Go ahead.
Man. I don't want to send a clear message. I'm not discrimination. I have nothing against Haitian. I have nothing against Jamaican. We just have a serious problem here, and the problem is affecting us here living in the Bahamas, us Bahamians. And we're looking to protect those people living in Haiti and dying on their way to the Bahamas. And then we have Bahamian people losing the Bahamian resources to send money back to MoneyGram, back to Haiti, so that they could have a better life. But this is illegal. Mr. Francis talked about it.
That's right.
You know, he talked about it. Man. It's dangerous, and it's also dangerous. Could you imagine the weapons coming on those boats?
Jesus, buddy.
You know, we wonder how guns and drugs and all this stuff get inside.
The Haitian boat them with the back of Prince George. We don't listen. But I'd be joking.
You know, and the thing is, like I say, some people would want to come here to live. Some people would also want to come to live. But what about the attitude? What about people who live a wilding life in that particular country, running away from poverty, running away from rival gangs, running away from whatever the situation is, and come to this moment, bring in that spirit here. That's what we're talking about.
Bremen said just now that Christian and Mr. Davis said that both prime ministers said that. We know that Dr. Menes was going inside Haitian churches with Frankie Campbell doing the interpolation. And what I find incredulous is this. First of all, and I want to be fair to the former leaders,
yes,
right, and to the leader. There's a difference between politics and policy.
Mm. Right? Not someone votes, but it's a policy. We have the guideline to protect the country.
Exactly.
That's the law. The policy is the law.
Politics get you elected.
Yes.
Policy sustain nations.
Right.
Correct policy sustain nations. And when you, for most people, this conversation is very emotive, filled with anxieties, emotions. Anxiety. For me, I don't care. Not at this age of my life. I don't care who's offended. I too old for that. I got to wipe my eyebrows.
Because you have to protect the Bahamas.
I got to wipe my eyebrows. I don't give a flying fart what people think about me. I too old for that.
Yes, sir.
And so I got to the place where I say what I got to say. You could deport me from everywhere else except here. Mm-hmm. You could deport me from China.
Yes.
You could deport me from Brazil. You cannot deport me from the Bahamas.
Yes.
And so I've been given the responsibility the whole of the ban of this sovereign nation.
Yes.
I don't play with that. And so I have access to the Prime Minister of the Bahamas and several ministers of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And I believe, and I want to say this fairly, that from what I can see, Mr. Davis wants to do his own thing in terms of how he governed. Yes, and sir. I believe he wants to turn this thing inside out. Yeah. I believe he wants to do the right thing. That's what I perceive from Philip Brave Davis. I don't say that from no brownie point perspective. I say it because there are some things I see him do it that kind of sit well with me.
Wow.
When something don't sit well with me policy-wise, I am still not convinced that this government is going to reshape differently the immigration law. I don't see that yet.
Mm.
I don't see that yet. Am I speaking to it? Yes. Am I whispering to them? Yes, I am. Watch this. Check that. Watch this. Check that. Why? Because I can tell you, no one had the right to ask me. My grandchildren, no one had the right to ask me, what did you do? What did you say?
Mm.
When all this is going on. Our challenge is, we need to be clairvoyant. We need to be transparent.
Mm.
And I feel, this may sound offensive to a lot of behemoths, I feel for some of the kids who were born here in shanty towns, who struggle to get, to find their way. I feel for them.
Yes. And we have to do something about it.
We have to. And at the same time,
we have to protect ourselves.
Wait, some hard question. Mark your question, Scrooge.
Go ahead.
Mark your question.
Well, let me see if I can answer this. Go ahead.
Somebody been in the Bahamas for 30 years.
Yes, sir.
Right? They still own the documentation. But after 30 years, they've been out of Haiti for 30 years. Immigration shows up to the house. Do you send them back to Haiti?
Why? For 30 years, they're here illegally, but they have failed to get documents after the 30-year span. When they have children, I don't think we can send them back. Even if I want to, I don't know, Mr. I don't think we could send them back. Not after 30 years with their mother and family.
You know they got to go back? You know why they got to go back?
Why?
Michael, I don't know how you lost some sound. You got to send them back.
Listen.
And the reason why you have to send them back is because the law is the law. The minute you put emotions in law, it's no longer
that's
law.
That's what I said. You said it earlier about policy and...
Politics versus policy.
Yes.
The minute you start to cry, right?
Yeah.
It's no longer law.
Wow.
That's why when you go to court, the judge don't even cry.
No.
The judge don't break down and cry. Oh, Jesus, I really feel bad. The reason why the judge don't cry, the judge...
takes emotion away, order it.
Justice is blind.
Yes. Former justice just said that.
Justice is blind.
Yeah, he said that. He have to take his emotion, order it.
Justice is blind.
Wow.
If you start to put sight to justice, your country will go to hell.
No laws, no regulation. You get oil flux.
You will suffer. The reason why I don't play little games with Lincoln Bean, all that fool, what they be doing, I don't play them kind of games. I don't do foolishness.
Yes, sir.
I believe in what is right.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to gimmick nobody to get in parliament. Mm. I ain't trying to get in parliament. I believe you gotta do what is right. And when you stop doing what is right, that's it. The reason why I don't believe they should knock down the shanty towns, only one reason, you know.
Go ahead.
There's a reason why they shouldn't knock down the shanty towns, at least until you do an audit on who they are.
Oh, I see what you said.
Because if you knock down the shanty towns and don't know who's there, that's why Anglicans has become a shanty town.
Yeah.
Because they scatter.
Yeah. They go to one from one
family. From one place to the next.
Yeah.
And so we've soloed the inner city to cultures. My grandmother used to make us rake the yard with straw broom. I used to see the lines in the straw broom. The yard used to be so clean. You can't go out. Cochise, as my cousin.
So
Adrian, you can't go out until you clean the yard.
So,
and so the inner city homes used to look spectacular. So we now rent them out to subcultures.
Who are not here illegally.
They're hanging the panties
illegal
in front of the yard now.
No documents.
They got this culture. I rented a building, a Haitian girl was living upstairs. I meet her killing a pig to the front door. culture travels.
So you not know what we're bringing. When you come here legally, you set up rules and regulations, you buy by the Commonwealth.
You take one, and I did.
You're not bringing all that. You know, because like they said, it's not really a government or a community over there, because it's so much problems. And
you see the question I asked you?
Yeah.
I saw the look in your eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're hot.
Yeah. See, I know people just like that. Yeah, talking about hundreds. My friends who I grew up with, they...
Oh, you're hot, going to just now, yeah. And you're hot, you know, right?
Yeah.
Man, I was at the food store, and the young lady had just gotten her documents. And she got her passport.
She was so happy.
And she was in Super Bowl. You know what she said to me? I'll never forget this. So I looked at her last name. I said, "You Haitian Bahamian?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "I know Haitian Bahamian. I'm a Haitian." I said, "You got your you have documents?" She said, "Yeah." You know how long I had to wait for this lousy piece of paper? When she said that, the only reason why everything in me started to growl up. I said to her, "Listen, I understand your frustration, but that lousy piece of paper, you should get that back." And I said to her, she was cashing for Super Value. I said to her, "That's your attitude, my dear? Mm-hmm. That lousy piece of paper? Mm-hmm. You should give that back. Let me tell you why. Just the fact that you had to wait on it. You could use the other piece of paper you had.
Yeah.
Because you will always be a damn Haitian."
So why is it like that? A few months ago, I think it was last year or something, there was a Haitian lady who was a Bahamian. She won the Bahamas pageant, and then she said something on Facebook about the same thing you were saying. Why would you want to do? Why there's so much hate for the Bahamas, and still people want to come here to live? But it's like
it's not their fault. I can't blame them. Let me tell you why I can't blame them. Own your identity. It's very easy to be better when you're ignorant.
You ain't read about the right weekend, your documents, and et cetera. Why you were here for 19, 20 years? You did nothing. You just...
The ignorance has perpetuated the community.
Yeah.
It's because once you establish an identity in the nation, and the identity is so strong, the persons who are coming up, they buy into that identity. They buy into who I am.
Yeah, they become more...
And so you are prepared to fly the Haitian flag more than love the Bahamian flag.
Yeah, that's a problem. So we have to protect...
Yeah, I have to protect that.
So, I understand what you're saying. So, if you're here in the Bahamas and you're talking about the document because, you know, it took so long to get it and et cetera, now you got it. And there's a Haitian. Like I said, I'm not discriminating. This is just what we're seeing. We're having a discussion. And
well, like you should be a priest.
Yeah.
If you're going to apologize over and over and over again.
You know, you're mourning around, you have the Haitian flag, and you're in the Bahamas, but that's still you hate the Bahamians for what particular reason? I think it's because, you know, you feel that you've been here so long and you didn't get the documents straight. But
schools, you want the benefits. They want the benefits of the Bahamas. They don't want to grow up with the heart of the Bahamas. They want the benefits of being Bahamians. And that's not everybody.
No.
Obviously it's not everybody.
We got a lot of
Luby and I had this conversation the other day.
Yes, sir.
And I think we have to have now a more sensible conversation about this situation, more than anger, frustration, and emotions.
Yes.
I think we have to be mature about how we have the conversation, because I can be honest with you. If you had asked me 3 years ago how to handle this, I was going to run a cruise ship.
A cruise ship?
I was going to run a cruise ship.
Uh-huh.
And every voyage would have been full with Haitians. To go back to Haiti, and after you then drop them off, you come back. Mm. Get the next set, come back.
Yeah.
If you asked me 3 years ago.
Your stance changed now.
My attitude is, it's time for us to decide how to regulate the situation, the extent to which.
So we can hit.
This has to begin to make sense now, because this ain't working.
No, it ain't working.
The way it is not working.
You got to be able to help those. Doors.
And do I believe that persons who are here should return home? I think Haitians should go back to Haiti, help to restore Haiti.
And you're talking about the settled smuggler away in the country.
I believe you really love Haiti the way Haitians say they love Haiti, right?
Go back and build up your country.
And they will tell you, man, you know, you can't build. All I know is, right, but I've been all through the region. And all the region, whether it's CARICOM, whether it's CHOGM, whether it's the government, whether it's the United Nations, everybody used to be need to do more for Haiti.
Yeah.
They need to come get them and good more for them.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not an ambassador to the United Nations. Mm-hmm. I'm not the ambassador to the Caribbean, that's Leslie or Miller. But I'm groundbreaking. And I can tell you right now, I know some politicians listen to me. I tell you this right now, all right? Part of the reason why people are afraid of me is they're not sure what I can do. Mm. But I tell you what I will do, what God advised me to. You can get to the place where you understand that the Bahamas was birthed to glorify God. Any religion, any system, the United Nations believe now to push the whole agenda of same-sex marriage, I don't buy that. Mm. My convictions don't push me to that. Open borders, I don't buy that. My convictions don't push me to that. They tried to put up some nasty stuff on me the other day. They tried to destroy me, and everybody started laughing. Mm. I tell them, it don't stick. It can't stick. It don't work like that. You try to destroy me, the hope, I think we got him now. No, it don't work like that. Mm. I'm a real man.
Yes, sir.
When I was in primary school, I kissed one girl in primary school. I could still smell the bergamot grease in her hair. And I can tell you straight up, brother knew from then, girls was for me. I ain't got that sissy problem. I don't have them kind of issue.
Yes.
And so when the United Nations come with the issue, I ain't got them kind of issue. I don't have the issues when it comes to homosexuality.
You went
to. I know what a sovereign nation should be like. Yeah. I need to make my rules for my people.
Yeah.
I don't move ancient boundaries. Mm. I don't push that issue over that issue. I don't move the foundation that my forefathers have laid.
Yeah.
I'm not. The governor of Bahamas did it the other day. They legalized gambling. You know something? I'll tell you this, right?
Go ahead.
Tell you this. If I was a prostitute, I'll put together a prostitute association.
Mm.
And I'll tell them, y'all can legalize marijuana, y'all can legalize gambling, legalize prostitution then.
Wow.
I'm the president of the association. If you can legalize marijuana, if you could legalize gambling, pick me. Mm. Legalize me too. Why? Because if you keep moving the boundaries, you can open the floodgates.
Yeah,
hold to some kind of principle that make you unique as a nation.
Yes, by that principle. Because, so let me ask you something. When you was talking about when you were growing up, about the cleaning and et cetera, and you're saying now you're seeing where persons of Haitian background would kill a pig, where normally no right-thinking people would kill an animal in their yard. We are seeing a lot of garbage in yards and build up and people bathing in the yard. And yes. So do you think this is a part, I mean, it could be part of our culture? Do you think it's a part of the people?
It's adopted culture, man.
It's adopted
culture. Culture travels. Nothing travels like culture.
Okay.
If you watch basketball.
So the filter and all
that. If you watch basketball, right? The heaviest culture always wins.
Mm.
Right? Steph Curry starts shooting from down the road. He switched a whole culture. Michael Jordan had a culture where everybody was dunking.
High flyers. Yeah.
That was a culture in the NBA.
Yeah.
Culture travels. Steph Curry starts shooting from down, right?
Half court.
Now all of a sudden, everybody's shooting from far.
Damon Lillard.
Culture travels. When the Haitians come here, you can tell culture travels. It takes on its own wings.
Yeah.
And so our challenge is we have to decide what culture we want.
Yeah, you're right. And young boy, I think he's age 11 or 12, who they found in the Big Pond area around Sports Center. And then you see how long it took for someone to come identify him.
Thank God.
That's crazy.
They ain't coming.
Why? They not coming because they don't have their documents. See, this is what we're talking about now.
So you have all the folks who died during Hurricane Dorian, right? Later on, As soon as I get everything organized,
yes, sir.
I want to build a wall of remembrance, right?
Wall of remembrance.
I want to build a wall of remembrance in Abaco and Grand Bahama.
Yes, sir.
And the wall of remembrance, right? You know what's so weird about the wall of remembrance? We don't have a clue how many persons died in Abaco.
No.
We don't have no clue. Why?
No.
Because probably 80% of the people who died were Haitians.
Yes.
So you ask the people, come identify if you have a loved one, who you think died in the flood, who you think died in the hurricane. You think them suckers coming, they ain't coming, you ain't coming. You ain't got no documents.
So I'm afraid.
You're afraid to come.
And so, stuff.
Elsway Johnson asked everybody to come. Who got some relatives?
They never came.
Oh, we ain't going to lock you up. Listen.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah, he tell them, we're not going to prosecute you. Man, show your hip hop. Show whether or not you have a loved one who died. Because we ain't going to know who all died.
Right.
I mean, some mysterious things happened during that situation.
Yeah.
I tell you this much, right? If they showed up, you're supposed to show them back to Haiti. Dr. Minnis brought over 4,000 or 5,000 people to Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never saw nothing like that in my life. They disappeared out of Nassau. Nobody even knew where they went.
Yeah.
Listen, when Dr. Minnis left our country as prime minister.
Yes, sir.
They got this song they sing in church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I was singing like, oh, Lord, we praise your name. I wanted minutes to go so bad. Hallelujah. And I just believe the brother was ignorant more than he was arrogant.
Yeah. He made some crucial mistakes all over the board.
I did. The brother just, you know, that illegal immigration challenge that the brother brought to the table was very dissatisfying. He made some decisions on your providence that we've never recovered from. Ask the police. How crime went up in Nassau almost 80%.
And we saw during the hurricane and the cleanup, we were hearing about the crimes that are being committed by persons of no stature in the Bahamas who just came back and forth from Abaco to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that they had no respect for law and order in the country. So we're talking about these specific set of people coming to our shores.
See, you're very apologetic, and I like the fact that you always use this disclaimer, you know, we're not prejudiced, we're not doing... I like the fact you do it, right? Because I used to do it one time, too. I'm a little old now. I don't do them kind of things no more. It is what it is. And the reality that we saw with Cuba, the influx of Cubans did to Miami.
Yeah, and we're seeing it now, also right now as we speak.
You see what the Haitians did to Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
And I'm old enough now to travel worldwide, and I can tell you, Haitians go to any culture, they build shanty towns.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame the Haitians. I blame the governments that allow it, the people that allow it.
And that's the culture where they come with the shanty towns from Haiti and they bring over here.
And the same lifestyle, the derelict vehicles, all the different things that they would do. And if we don't grab the situation, as a matter of fact, if you have six, if there's no less than 60% in all our public schools, children of Haitian descent, if there's no less than 60%, in some cases almost up to 80 and 90,
wow.
if we don't fix this problem in 25 years, we're done.
Wow.
In 25 years, many of us will be screaming. I could tell most quality behemoths right now what to do. Go to Andres, Central Andres, North Andres. Build yourself some nice homes.
Before we have none left.
Until the government decide that they're prepared to deal with the influx that's coming, I'm telling you right now, go to the island, get some space. This bad boy gone.
Mm.
And it makes no sense to every... I run an employment company.
Yes, sir.
Every time I run an ad,
yes, sir.
7 out of 10 or the persons who answer the other Haitians.
Oh, Lord.
And so what people are afraid of, I talk about. I don't dilly-dally around nothing no more at this stage of my life.
Mm.
When the Negroes then tried to destroy me the other day,
yes, sir.
My mom, my sister who watch it, when they tried to destroy me the other day, it made me understand something. A friend of mine died day before yesterday, Terry Miners, right? Kenny Musgrove died. I decided to live my life. Why? Nobody's rent space in my mind. I can tell you what time it is. No one is right. I just said, you're getting run.
Yes, sir.
And so as far as I'm concerned, when you have facts and you're speaking truth to power, you live by the truth you speak.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you
sir.
Live by your convictions.
Yes.
Your appetite and your conviction should always be enemy.
So let me just say this. Like how you're saying, you know, I'm trying to be, I agree.
Yeah, man.
And I want this. For every Bahamian, for every person of Haitian descent, Jamaican, Trinidadian, me as a Bahamian right now, you say like, you know, you sure you ain't getting extradited from the Bahamas?
Yeah.
Do you think if things get so hard in the Bahamas, will I be accepted to go in Haiti and build my home in Haiti? With these same people who we're assisting here.
That's interesting.
Would I be allowed that things get so tough in the Bahamas where our economy get destroyed because we have to know the healthcare system with illegal immigrants coming out and after a while they are stagnated. So, like you said, for 30 years they've been here. So So they take our resources and the water that we have to pay. So things get overwhelming in the country, like you say, 25 years from now, and ain't enough, no work here, no nothing's happening for me. And I decide to say, you know what, let me go, and let me see if I can go into my brothers and sisters' land in Haiti and see if I can go and squat on land. What do you think will happen to me?
You place, but that ain't gonna happen.
Why ain't gonna happen? They're doing it here, and they're demanding so much stuff. I'm coming illegally. So why I can't?
You can't enter on Haiti without a visa.
How you mean?
You can't go to Haiti right now without a visa.
Oh.
You need a visa to get in Haiti.
You need a visa.
You need a visa to go to Haiti right now.
Wow.
I was laughing because there's a young lady who was detained in America, no, in Russia. She's an NBA player, Brittany Griner.
Yes.
She was sent to 9 years in jail last evening.
Yes, last evening.
For cannabis oil, right? And hashish oil and whatever they say, oh, the Russians are wrong and everything else, right? The Russians are wrong. Russia's a sovereign territory. You don't make up the rule for Russia when you show up.
No, not in Cuba.
So, Brittany Griner, I don't think it's about her lifestyle. I've been to Russia.
Yeah, it's about...
I've been to Russia. You know what they tell you when you're going to Russia? You can't carry the Bible. You know what I ain't carry?
That's regulation.
The word of a hidden my heart.
Yeah,
and I will not sin against thee. I ain't carry no Bible. They tell me you can't carry Bible.
You respect. You respect.
I respect their law.
You respect their law.
So, Brittany Griner, I respect their sovereignty. Brittany Griner's side. I made an honest mistake. Your backside and your honest mistake can stay in Russia for 9 years.
That's because they're not going against...
They ain't going against their rules, their sovereign law.
Rules and regulation.
Stop compromising your sovereign law.
Yeah.
Oh, Biden can say things like, oh, you know, I'm Russia did this wrong. And they, but get the hell out of here.
Yes, she broke the law.
If every time, that's why I asked you the question.
You are.
If the fella been here for 30 years without documents.
Right, and I...
And I can't send him back to your family.
So,
boy, in America, they shipping you to America. You, your children, your dog, your cat, and your rat.
And that's why they're sending a lot of Bahamians, Americans back.
How you think we get so down here in the country?
Yeah. And we end up with an influx of hardened criminals who can't state life.
That's how they get you.
They brought the killing spirit and all the smuggling guns and all the drugs.
Buddy, Biden, no matter what you say, but, you know, with Biden, Obama, Trump, all them. One thing they got in common.
What they got in common?
They love America.
All right.
And when you break the rules and laws in America, especially when you go to some of them little hick town, I tell you, police will be him, but they won't move to America and Canada. Well, you got to be joking.
1,000, you could get 1,000 years
away. When you break the law in America,
okay,
with
1,000 years.
The hicks in America, when they finish with you,
they see
you black when you drive on the road.
Yeah.
Especially you go get one of them nice rental car, with Mercedes rental, and what the hell is black boy doing in Mercedes?
Yeah.
You think I can go put up with that? Let me deal with some corrupt police officers right here who beating people children for nothing. Culture travels.
Yes.
I ain't going to America to prove nothing. I ain't going to Canada to prove nothing. The problem with the government have to understand that what's happening with our young men and women who leave and then ain't coming back, something wrong with that. We have to create the Bahamas, the behemoths can begin to enjoy.
Opportunities.
And bring them back home.
The influx is causing a lot of jobs to be taken away, you know? Because like you said, you know, you're saying they're my Haitian. So if I'm an employer, if I could go get a person to give him $150, a behemoth probably, I ought to pay him $800, $900 per week. So, yes.
Man, you're joking. I got too many family members, right?
Yes.
Who are in America, who would love to be in the Bahamas. They're not enjoying their own country.
No, they say they want to come back.
I got people in Canada, all over the place, trying to...
want to come back to the Bahamas.
They want to come home.
Yeah.
You know? Man, listen, I can't do this. I ain't got no problem. Say, Portia, I have issues with people who don't understand this is the best territory on earth.
Yes.
And the Haitians want it. The Chinese want it.
Everyone,
the Americans want it.
We have to protect
everybody. We have to protect this.
And we have to protect them from coming here to the bombs and losing their life.
We have two sets of economics. We have the wealthy economic, and then we have the social class economics. And the challenge we have in both instances is we got the rich who come here, unbelievable, like the Brookfield them who got Atlantis, and then you got the social dirt poor.
Yes.
And so we cannot afford to allow the Haitians to come here and end up on our welfare system.
Yeah, and that's killing us. That's killing us.
And I can't allow the rich guy to come here and own my territory, own my space, eat up my space. No, the Bahamas got to be first for behemoths. And whatever we have as an overflow, we can help you.
Yes.
Do unto others.
As we have others.
As you have them do unto you.
Yes.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes. And the same way we protect our country and still help them. Yes.
I do.
Want to say anything before we go, Mr. Francis? Make me laugh. Go ahead. You want to say anything before?
Man, I, then when I good man, I tell you, I first of all, I want to thank you, man. I think you're doing a tremendous show. I got to please, but I hate the studio because this is how we bring back all kinds of memories. I want nobody to get fooled to believe I come back to radio.
You're not coming back.
No, I shouldn't say that because I may have to help Steve McKinney out.
Yeah, that's good. He's a good
guy. I may do 2 hours. 2 hours.
No, you need to.
If I do,
so what is this important, sir?
If I decide to come back to radio, Ali, you get on with me by Steven. I carry Ali with me by Steve. Ali is my producer, man.
Yeah, he's good.
No, Ali is my boy, man. Yeah. Arlington. I remember when Ali first came up here.
Yeah.
But no, man, we are.
Yeah.
I think you're doing an awesome job.
Thanks, sir.
I want to thank God, man, for your voice on the radio.
Yes, sir.
God don't need your words.
Yes.
The Bible says the voice of one.
Yes, sir.
He don't need words.
Yes, sir.
Right? The voice of one crying in the wilderness. My sheep know my voice. He ain't said my words. Yes. He got a whole book, 66 books. God only want our voices, man.
Yes.
I go in some sports store and talk, and I know your voice.
Yes, yes.
You know, so God needs our voice, man.
Yes, sir.
We have to use it to glorify Him.
I want
to
thank you for appearing on Inside
thank you, man.
In the City on a short notice. You did a wonderful job. Tonight you gave a lot of good information about the situation we're facing in the country. You've been fighting this fight a long time. So I wanted to have you on today because, you know, you talk about these things, and what you talk about is realistic. And if we want to solve the problem, we need to listen to some solution that you have to offer to the BMD.
I only need the economic now, my friend.
Yes.
The only time you see me march again, if my name ain't right on the check.
You ain't getting pulled no more.
Boy, I ain't marching with no behemoths. Boy, you didn't get me to go on the hearts in the march with behemoths no more. March with behemoths? March on Bahama Line. Ali, you hear me say you? I would listen, march? I wouldn't protest. Listen, I can tell you all right now, those of you who listen by radio, the only time you can see me march and protest, if my name is right on the check.
Yeah.
This boy, economic, my mother turned 74, just turned 74 years old. Yeah. Trust me. I ain't playing with this.
Wow.
It's for the economics.
Yes, sir.
That's what this is about. The Haitians doing what they gotta do. Get them on the middle of the road, selling all these different things in the middle of the road. Open up all these businesses in the inner city without license, doing all kind of foolishness.
You're going to do it too, as a BMW.
And tell the government decide to drop the hammer. You think I got time to go raise my voice and raise my conscience? I got to be joking. I've done my penance.
Yes, sir.
And so I ain't into that no more. So if you know anybody who won't give me to take care of my mom, then I'll march.
Then you'll march then.
Yeah.
Yes.
I
want to say thank you very much. You did a wonderful job.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
I want to give a shout out to Basketball Talk. What did I get? Fat Troy. They have a basketball tournament. Fallen Soldiers. Basketball tournament will be coming up in 2 weeks' time. Frankie, who owns Shams One. Fat Troy, ours, down on East Street. Sunlight College.
I'll keep running that.
Right? By the Jumper Church, if you want to get in contact to be a part of the Fallen Soldiers basketball tournament, get in contact with ours. Or Frankie. Frankie owns Shams One on East Street. They always giving back to the community. So I want to give a shout out to Frankie. And Fat Troy, we call them ours. And I want to again thank Mr. Adrian Francis for doing a wonderful job.
So where's the tournament being held?
It's going to be at Sunlight Village.
Sunlight College.
I think it's going to be in 2 weeks' time. Troy was supposed to send me the date.
Another call, right.
Yeah.
So listen, man, we got to call Tum Tum then find out. Tum Tum, we'll find out where they are, man, these guys. And guys, blessing to Laquan then.
Yes.
Blessing to Laquan then and to Buddy Hill is doing a tournament here also. I want to thank Buddy Hill for giving back, man. Shawnee Miller, yeah, she have a foundation. She gives back all the time.
Yes.
Clothes. Shawnee do a tremendous job in giving back.
Yes.
And so I want to thank you, man. I got to see how we could do this again.
Yes, no problem. Let me know anytime. I want to give a special thanks again to former superintendent of police, Douglas Hanna, on the 70th birthday. And I want to send this to the officers of the Royal Bahamas Police for have the integrity and respect like Douglas Hanna, and you'll get a lot accomplished on what he's able to achieve in his illustrious career on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Scrooge, happy 70th birthday.
I didn't say this, man.
Go ahead.
Clayton Fernandez, my boy.
Clayton Fernandez.
And when Clayton was demoted, I was really, really, really disheartened by the way they treated him. But God is so good, man. Reciprocity is something else, man. What goes around comes back around.
That's a nice one.
And I want to congratulate Steve Fernandez. He is now Commissioner of Police. He's now top cop. And good friend, man. I love you to pieces, Clayton Fernando, yes. And all the best to you, man.
And because Clayton Fernando served under Douglas Hanna.
I know Dougie Hanna well, man. Yes, I know Dougie Hanna. Dougie Hanna went to Paradise Island. Yes. And make up all the money in PI. Dougie Hanna, listen, write one check for your boy, Dougie. You make the relax.
So I want to say thanks to everyone who listened. And again, we're not discrimination. We're talking Fox on how we can fix the Bahamas. And we got Adrian Francis in the studio giving his side of the story. And we see you next week on Inside and Inside.
Blessings, Friday. Everybody. Blessings, guys.
Good night, everybody.
La 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 la